In the beginning, there was a dream. A dream that became a film fest. Known throughout the universe as the greatest collection of motion pictures ever assembled. Now, Apocalypse Video brings you the fifth installment of Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest. The future is super female. A gathering of the best and worst in female-led comic book movies. From Barbed Wire to Barbarella, Catwoman to Tank Girl. They're all here, and they're all fabulous. On this week's episode, a group of aspiring rock stars from Riverdale must foil the evil plans of Alan Cumming and Parker Posey as they use the power of subliminal advertising to sell a bunch of garbage to the youth of America. Grab your drumsticks and guitars, girls. It's Josie and the Pussycats.
Every band, there is a moment when they know they have made it. For one band, this is not that moment.
Thank you guys. You're a great crowd.
Okay, girls, we need the lane now. And your shoes.
They were three small town girls with big time dreams.
Who's a rock star?
I am.
Who wanted to share their music with the world.
We can't sit around here waiting for it to happen.
We are musicians. We should be out there playing music.
We do play.
Nobody believed in them.
You know, you suck.
But they believed in themselves.
We're special.
Yeah, special Ed.
Now, I'm your backup lover. In a world of tough competition.
And that is so sad.
Fate is giving the Pussycats the chance of a lifetime.
We'd love for you to sign with Mega Records.
How am I gonna pull this off?
I'm a girl from Riverdale. I'm not a rock star.
You gotta believe in yourself.
Things are finally going their way. But between the mania...
Is that Joseph?
They're gonna be huge!
The managers.
We decide everything.
What's hot and what's not.
Welcome to your party.
Who else thinks that Fiona's a freak?
And the media.
We're gonna be on TRL?
Mm-hmm. Yeah!
This may be the toughest gig they've ever played.
Have you noticed that everything has sort of become all about Josie?
Josie.
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 Josie!
1, 2, 3. Spin around.
I made you a rock star.
Tell me you don't love that.
Forget it.
You know, I never liked you.
No matter what happens, we will always be friends first.
Are you gonna kill me with the guitar?
You messed with the wrong pussycat.
My bad. Josie and the Pussycats.
Well, hello, folks. Du jour is Apocalypse Video. I'm your host, wow. Dave. I'm just getting right into it. I'm joined by my fellow bandmates, Ryan.
I want a Big Mac.
Well, I'll give you a Big Mac first, but first you got to put down that Target dog, okay? Well, then we'll talk. I'm also joined by Michael.
Hello, I'm Eugene Levy, and I'm an actor.
Oh, I thought you were mixing up things. I thought you were doing movie phone guy for a second there.
Josie the Pussycats. So I have a confession to make, guys. I was not aware that this movie was an Archie-related comic until they literally show up in Rivendale. Riverdale. in like 10 minutes into the movie.
What?
I had no idea.
Well, I thought we did you not choose comic books for this thing?
Like, this I knew thing. That this
yeah,
was based on
if you didn't know this was Archie,
book,
why
I didn't
did you
realize it was Archie?
Oh.
I thought it was its own thing. I mean, I guess technically it is, but it's...
Well, you know, I probably didn't. My relationship to Josie and the Pussycats was the cartoon. I didn't know that was.
Yeah, I was aware of the cartoon, but that seemed like such a different thing.
I just thought it was like a kind of like a the Scooby-Doo era of cartoons. I thought it was that, you know.
Yeah, same.
Hanna-Barbera.
I think it is a Hanna-Barbera, but I just think it was like I thought it was just like a part of that kind of thing. I think I'm you're right. I was the same way, but more maybe 20 years ago and not 10 minutes now. Ago.
Well, I know nothing. I mean, I know the basic look of Archie Comics, but it's just like, what is it? Is it basically like a soap opera in comic book form?
Well, then did you not get it from just osmosis? Because I never read Archie,
like,
but I know.
What is Archie?
I never
Archie,
did.
It's just like, I wouldn't say soap opera, but just sort of like, so here's my experience with Archie. I wasn't quite like an Archie kid, but I like Sonic the Hedgehog, and there was a Sonic the Hedgehog comic that was done by Archie Comics, and okay. They would sometimes like have Archie stuff, you know, in the back of the comic or like, you know, various little things. You know, I got a taste of the Archie universe by subscribing to the, you know, the Sonic thing. And yeah, it's just like normal everyday life, you know. I don't know, it's like Charlie Brown but a little bit more
like grown. teen Charlie maybe, but there's like a love triangle, you know, like I've never read an Archie comic, but I know Archie and Veronica and Betty.
Yeah, it's a love triangle, Veronica, Archie, and Betty. Yeah,
yeah. That's... I know the characters. I never seen one lick. I never saw the CW show, and I know.
Are you familiar with the show Riverdale?
And like Jughead, I know them all. David, you don't know this?
I know these names, but I never read one comic, never watched any cartoon or anything related to this stuff until now.
Interesting.
Riverdale, the show, I guess it was CW. That show is like probably it's got to be one of the most insane shows ever made, like because it starts as an adaptation of like Archie, you know, it's like the Archie comics and it's normal stuff, but it just like goes it just like turns insane. It's like season two, like I was looking at just like a list of like things that have happened, like this is an actual thing that happened on the Riverdale show. Archie was ritualistically sacrificed by a witch queen. including his pregnant girlfriend, and while like his pregnant girlfriend was being sacrificed, she was crowned as like the Maple Queen. But then it turned out this happened in like a shadow dimension. There was an organ harvesting cult. I think it was Betty.
This is on the show, not the
yes. This is the show. Like I don't know what happened with that show, Riverdale. I just had to mention that. Like that show went insane places. Betty,
well, it's interesting.
Betty has two family members who are serial killers. Like they do that twice.
What? So I have a question though. Does that whole thing start here with this movie, Josie and the Pussycats? Because in this movie, we got people trying to kill people.
No. I think because Buffy is also a Riverdale character. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Did y'all know that either?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Come on. Am I wrong? Am I wrong about that?
I'm not seeing anything
Buffy
about that.
Buffy is it Buffy?
Maybe I'm seeing not. Like I'm not seeing that, Ryan. This sounds
Archie
like
fans
fake news.
And Riverdale fans are listening right now and just screaming.
Wait. Maybe I'm mixing up vampire killers.
Oh, there's another vampire killer.
There's a
comics.
Lot. The point is, there's a lot going on in Riverdale and Archie comics.
Did you guys know Blade actually made his first appearance in an Archie comic?
Am I wrong? Maybe I'm mixing up. I'm mixing up something.
You guys know Aeon Flux was...
So it sounds like there's something equally stupid that came out of... or something you wouldn't think of from an Archie comic.
A lot is going on in Riverdale.
Comic universe. I'm mixing up something. I'm sorry. I'm you're right. They're all yelling at us. They're all yelling. There's
well,
some
Josie,
sort of...
Josie and the Pussycats. I was vaguely aware of this movie when it came out. This movie kind of bombed initially, right? Like it was not a success off the bat.
It was a bomb financially and critically.
Yeah. And I have something to say about the critics. So pulling this movie up, I sometimes I like to read like the the consensus on a movie. Like Rotten Tomatoes will do like a consensus. Mm. They'll sort of get all the reviews. And get this. This live-action update of Josie and the Pussycats offers up bubbly, fluffy fun, but the constant appearance of product placement seems rather hypocritical. That's the whole goddamn movie, is the product placement. That's the whole point.
It's what that Simpsons thing, like, that's the joke.
Seriously, that's the joke.
Did you guys see that, according to the Chattopedia, they didn't actually get money for that product placement? Like, it was strictly for the bit.
Because they literally had, like, everything. Like, there was a McDonald's bathroom. Like Tara mm-hmm. Reid's in a bathroom, and there's, like, McDonald's logos on the shower.
My favorite moment, the shower was really good, but my favorite moment by far was when they go to the aquarium, and there's the whale tank,
yes.
and there's an Evian in the whale tank.
This is, and I'm sure this has been said before, but this is, like, the Wayne's World bit. Like for a whole movie.
This movie is Wayne's World. This is like
Okay.
Have you seen this before, Dave? I haven't seen this before.
I had never seen this before. I had no idea what to expect.
No idea.
No.
I had neither, and I didn't really think of much of it at the time it came out, but I think Ryan, you were the one that saw it then and was like, "Oh, this is like good."
I saw it late too, because I don't know. I'm surprised I didn't see it, but like it must have not been advertised right or something. Cause I'm like, why didn't I see this? I was all locked into all this MTV stuff at the time. I
would have had that MTV 2001 band. This movie screams.
I would have been, yeah. I don't know what I think they fucked up something for me for not to reach me. Or maybe like, I thought this was like, this is fucking sexist bullshit, but like I thought it was like a girl's movie or something like that, you know, like I just didn't like something went wrong.
I mean, they may have marketed it as more of a straight ahead live action version of Josie and the Pussycats, which is like it technically is, but it's definitely not. Well,
Just what we're talking about, though, that we don't have that, like at least us, like I don't think we had much of a connection to the characters of that other than. I remember, like, in between Scooby-Doo and, like, Dexter episodes, I would see a little bit of Josie. And so that's all I had was, like,
but,
you know.
But I don't think I'm wondering if, like, the advertising or, you know, the ad campaign, whatever, when this came out, wasn't getting across that, like, it was not just an adaptation of Josie and the Pussycats. It was also this, like, skewering of MTV, like, or, you know, that whole kind of, like, that whole side of it where it's not it's like
you don't think they were talking about that stuff.
It's like a movie about the music business, like and the snapshot in what the music business was like circa 2001.
And these types of bands.
Yeah, and that's like I don't know if that's necessarily like a given that you would get that in a Josie and the Pussycats movie. Like and I don't think they really like went out of their way to talk about that.
I'm wondering because I was thinking about like what this movie the closest things to this movie are too. And because something that came to mind this time around watching it is Cabin in the Woods, especially like the laboratory thing in here. Like that's the kind of movie this is, like making spoofs of like a certain genre or at least a whole industry.
I can see that like kind of like a Spinal Tap or like Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. I think now watching it, I watched it like 1.5 times in the last couple of days, basically, because I was just like, because I talked about this with Michael a little bit before we recorded. I love this movie and I love what it's reaching for. There is something like there. I don't. Maybe we can figure this out. And I'm wondering if maybe this is why it didn't work with people. There's something missing. Where there's some kind of like timing or something happening that it went that a critic could watch this movie. And it goes over their head that this is a satire of product placement. And like, maybe, and I'm like, why did that not work for some people? Like, there's something, and I was thinking about like, it's very Austin Powers a little bit. Like when it gets to Parker Posey and stuff and like the way like these like people are coming in from all over the world and she's talking to them and it's funny as hell. And on paper, it's all really funny stuff and like kind of dark shit happening. But there's something missing, I think, that's like, just like the subliminal messaging is not hitting someone's face or something.
Even though it's not even subliminal messaging. The movie is outright telling you.
Do you think it's almost like too good? Like it's almost like too close that people could not think it's like not far off enough. Like all the stuff in the beginning with Seth Green and Breckenridge? What the hell's that kid's name?
Breckenmeyer.
Breckenridge.
I just had the thought somehow Breckenmeyer has returned.
I know, bro. He's always returning.
Somehow Breckenmeyer.
I know, but like that, like all like almost seems like almost not spoofy enough for how crazy it is. I don't know. Isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like it's almost like too close to MTV like at the time.
The DuJour's whole introduction. They get out of, you know, they're catching a plane. There's a bunch of people. It's the beginning of the movie.
Literally, literally their name is like DuJour. Like. You know, like the soup du jour. It's like the flash in the pan. Oh my God. Real quick. I think the hardest I laughed at this movie is when they do the like in memoriam segment for du jour. And it's like 2000 to 2001.
Yes.
Yeah, they're, it's kind of, I don't know. There's something missed at this is maybe I'm trying to explain like maybe why this movie didn't work.
Well, Dave,
at the time.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Anyway. We were going to start with like where the movie starts with this like introduction to du jour.
Well, I was just saying before that though, like I didn't see it till late recently. I would say in the last like 5-6 years I saw it probably finally, and I was like, wow, where has this been my whole life? And so, and was definitely ahead of its time. I think with like. You know, like Scott, the thing is Scott Pilgrim too is a similar vibe of like, and it's playing on a certain culture and it failed too. It didn't do well. So I think it's a marketing thing. I think there's something that happened where it just, the idea of what this movie is, people did not like, did not get
it. Well, it makes me wonder, like, I wonder, because I didn't see the trailer for this movie. It makes me wonder if they had a bit of fourth wall breaking in the trailer, if that would have cued people in as to what type of movie this is.
The line, that, I mean, it's in the trailer, like, Carson Daly tried to kill me, I think is one of the funniest things, especially at the time. I think it's so funny, that idea, you know?
I think it's the whole idea of,
go ahead, Matt.
Oh, it's tough, because, like, I could see... You know, a lot of people who maybe would have liked this movie not seeing it because they didn't know what it was going to be. And maybe a lot of like people seeing it who a lot of this humor would like not land or go over their heads, you know, because it's not they were looking maybe for a more straight ahead adaptation of Josie and the Pussycats.
And I feel like,
I figured it out. It's not Buffy. It was Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Oh, OK.
Sabrina is an Archie comic. I'm sorry. Okay. I got it mixed up in my head. Figured it out. Okay, we can move on with our lives. I'm sorry, everybody. Put down your letters. Put down your pencils.
We lost
you don't
those
need
people
to,
a long time ago, Ryan.
Put them down. Put down your pencils.
Turned the podcast off 10 minutes ago.
I don't want it. Don't put down the typewriters. You know, in your the stamps. You don't need to put the stamps on.
Just every supernatural blonde young lady from the 90s is the same to you.
Well, yeah, I was going to say like I don't know what the critics, the audiences maybe just weren't captured because the ad campaign wasn't very successful. But like, if you're a critic watching this movie, I feel like you should know exactly what type of movie this is right from the get go, because the moment it starts, du jour pops up. We literally get logo.
It's a boy band.
We get the MGM logo. It like morphs into a girl going, ah,
yeah. You know?
And it's just making fun of that whole thing, like the audience's reaction to bands like this. And du jour pops up. Du jour rides up. They're going to catch a plane. They're at the airport, and it's like Beatles. It's like they're, you know,
NSYNC back. It's the Backstreet Boys music video for "I Want It That Way." Is what it is.
Yeah, kinda. But yeah. Like people are already out there screaming. It's like the insane Beatles type of fans are like, ah, you know, they're screaming, and they get out of the, and they have like an impromptu music video right here before they get on the plane. The camera's rotating around them in that like early 2000s music video style, you know, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and immediately I'm just like, okay, yeah. I know what type of movie this is, like from the get-go. And then it just intensifies when they get on the plane, and it's a Target plane. And when I say a Target plane, the Target logo is everywhere. Like that fucking dog, that Target dog is just there on the plane, and it's like a stuffed animal. And it's just everywhere, like to the point where the product placement is so over the top. On this plane, there are like...
bounce
right by the windows, there's like, you know, Ajax or like, you know, just like common household products lined up throughout the plane, you know, and a giant Target logo. It's like, if you don't understand that the whole point is that they're subliminally sending you messages to buy shit, product placement, you know, I It's almost the same thing as like as critics not realizing that Starship Troopers was satirizing like fascist countries and stuff. Like,
yeah,
of course this, they're the Nazis. This, how did you not see
I
that?
Think this movie like broke Ebert's brain specifically because Ebert gave this 1.5 star out of 4. Wow. I believe this is. He said, and his review is one of the it's one of the worst Ebert reviews I've read. He like clearly didn't get it. He starts out by saying like, this movie is as dumb as the Spice Girls, like randomly throwing the Spice Girls under the bus. But like, listen to this like line from, this sounds like Siskel to me. This does not
most,
sound like
yeah, the, my, the most famous.
Well, like, did satire not exist in 2001? Like,
listen to this. Listen to like what happened to Ebert while he watched this movie? Okay. Josie ignores bountiful opportunities to be a satire of the Spice Girls and other manufactured groups and gets dragged down by a lame plot involving the scheme to control teen spending with implanted messages. The movie calls them subliminal. Since they're sound waves, they're actually subaural, but never mind. The Pussycats would probably think subaural was a kind of foreplay.
What?
Like, what the hell, Ebert? What's wrong with you?
Hey, this is the stuff where they watched the first 10 minutes and turned it off.
All yeah.
Right. That sounds crazy. Because it's literally, he's explaining, he's basically describing the movie in a weird way.
Yeah, it's,
as like,
it's
I don't know, like, I'm thinking, this is what I think. It was the people that were watching it that were, I mean, the thing is, you just said it. You're thinking the Beatles in a weird way. You know, there was bands that were big like this. But at this time, with the internet and MTV and the crossover, like 2000, like the peak of humanity, basically, and it's all coming down from here, basically, you know? And I think, like...
Wasn't The Matrix? It was like 1999 or something.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and so maybe what it is, the people writing the reviews right then in 2000 are like old guys like Roger Ebert, who we love dearly. We love old Rog.
I love Roger Ebert.
And I'm just saying, like, the people watching these and reviewing them are the tastemakers here and are not like the teens and the 20-year-olds, whatever, that maybe this would have hit in the right way. And maybe it just hit them as like bubblegum bullshit. And that's what I thought maybe in 2001. Like, why didn't I see this? I was in sixth grade or seventh grade.
Well, it's like they shut their brain off. Like they saw the ads. They're like, I know what type of movie this is.
Time has validated the movie. Like, to be clear, like, people, there has been a reappraisal. I think it is generally considered like a good movie nowadays, but just
like, I think
at
it
the
was
time,
on the Criterion channel a couple years ago and stuff
it was,
like that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think, like, I mean, and I don't think it's perfect, like, but I think, like, as an idea, and I think, like, there's so many funny performances, like, we didn't say, like, Alan Cumming and Parker Posey in this are, like, it's some of the funny. They're like the funniest people alive, basically.
Alan Cumming like is cracking me up every time he's on stage or like on stage on screen.
Yeah, but Dave, you haven't really you talked about the critics and how much they hate. But did you have a good? Did you like the movie? You
know? I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was fun. Again, I liked not having any idea what this movie was going in. I think it was nice going in fresh. See, I didn't have the bias that evidently Ebert had going in, like, oh, this is just dumb Spice Girl stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I had no idea what this was. Like I said, had no idea it was tied to Archie.
How did you feel like
Riverdale pops up? I'm like, oh.
How did you feel like the moment where you're realizing like Alan Cummings is about to parachute out of the plane and they're gonna like crash the DuJour?
I was all in. I think someone mention Simpsons.
Maybe
we say this on the show.
It's very
Simpsons. Like, this felt like Simpsons humor, where it's like, all right, all right, guys, like, way to go. Like, you get this crazy moment where the band realizes, like, hey, you know, we realized, like, in this last song that there's some messages selling people stuff. What's that all about? Do you know about this?
Yeah.
I do not know about this. Walks into the
and
other
then
room,
walks over.
Immediately puts on a parachute. It's like, all right, the jig's up.
Looks over to the pilots, takes the Chevy to the levee.
Take the Chevy to the levee.
Yes.
Which I'm like, that's like, for some, that should hit Ebert funny, I think.
You would
think,
yes.
That's a boomer joke for him.
That's a boomer joke, and it's kind of biting. Like,
yeah, it is.
Yes.
Yo, Wyatt. Wyatt, there was one more thing.
Yes.
Well, yo, we were like working on some remixes of the last single, right? And we heard like a really strange background track, and and we were wondering whether or not you knew what it was all about.
Gee. You know, I've no idea what that was.
Where did it come from? I mean, why? We just want some answers.
The answers I will provide. I'll be right back. Take the Chevy to the levee.
The whole concept, like later on when they mention that, where it's like, yeah, if these bands get wise to us, we always just kill them, you know? Yeah. Like when Parker Posey's going through her list and her evil lair of like, this is how we just dispatch these bands and they get too smart, you know?
Yeah.
Like, car crash,
and the funny thing that like really makes this bit work throughout the whole show is that they're so quick to do it. Like that they're like, yeah, at the slightest hint of anything, they're ready to just like kill them.
Yeah, they almost were ready to kill the Pussycats.
Like, yeah, they almost killed the Pussycats a couple times just because they were like expressing the slightest bit of concern.
Yeah, like that line, like, oh, I can't believe we've been thus this successful, but it's only been a week.
Yeah, it gets on the phone.
He immediately pulls his phone out like, wait a minute.
Well, there's also a moment where... go ahead, David. I forgot what's inside. Well,
they kidnapped the free thing.
Oh, yeah.
The synopsis. I mean, I think we pretty much kind of covered the synopsis, more or less.
Okay, so, yeah. Well, that's what it was. Yeah, the free thinker with the smells like Team Spirit. That was the other joke with the kidnapper.
But yeah, I mean, it's basically like once you get the du jour out of the way, it's like, okay, the
du jour is like the big band of the moment. Everyone's talking about them. They're the biggest band of the last year.
Yeah.
They're basically NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. They're on the plane. Things are good. They're on their target plane. Things are good. But then they realize, like, they talk to their band manager, Alan Cumming, like, hey, you know, we kind of noticed there's like some weird subliminal messaging type thing going on. What is that all about? And that's when it's time to pull the Chevy to the levee. He kills them. And Alan Cumming in this moment immediately is just like, all right, I need to, they're wise. We need to find a new band. We just need a band.
He parachutes into Riverdale, which by the way, I love that the Riverdale, like the sign on the side of the road welcoming you to Riverdale is also sponsored by like a million brands.
Like Apple and all that stuff on it.
The plane crashes du jour, led by Seth Green, Breckenmeyer, and other guy.
Well, no, what's his name from Scrubs?
Scrubs. Yeah, the guy from Scrubs is there.
What the hell's his name? It's...
Oh, I forgot about him. Yeah, Zach, as Ryan would say, Zach Braff's friend.
Zach Braff's friend, yeah.
I don't remember
Donald Faison.
His name.
Donald Faison.
Yes, Donald Faison, yes. But, he's not the other guy I was referring to.
No,
the
that
other guy,
I don't know who that is. Who is that?
That's like, du jour is love.
Yeah, he's
du jour is friendship.
That guy.
I love that
I
they
know.
Had their headsets on the whole time, too. Did you notice that? They never took their headsets off.
That was a funny
off.
Little bit. But anyway,
yeah,
Alan.
I think. Breckenridge is doing a really good
Breckenmeyer.
Breckenmeyer
known as Breckenridge.
He's doing a really good
Hacksaw Ridge,
like Justin Timberlake impression. I feel like he's doing basically. But anyway,
they're presumed dead. Alan Cumming needs a new act to sell kids products, just any products, just even presumably like Dove beach soap or something. Or Dawn beach soap. But anyway, so he goes into Riverdale. He's looking for a band. And while he's there, I like that he almost also simultaneously goes into a record store or a music or
like a Virgin record store,
like a Virgin Records, like a Sam Goody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, by the way, here's the newest CD by du
jour's last,
like,
track or whatever.
Last track. And I love it because he's just some guy in this like fucking Sam Goody or something.
Well,
and
he does say
like,
I'm
okay.
From the label, and he gives him like a card.
Yes.
Yeah, he does. It's like he's showing him as like his badge. Like, don't
and
worry,
course,
I'm from the label.
And everyone's just like, ooh, like orange is the new blue or whatever they say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, again, I can't imagine being a critic in 2001 watching this and not getting the joke.
Wyatt Frame, I'm with the label. I'm in town scouting for some new talent, and I wondered if there's anyone worth hearing.
I saw the card, man, but I missed everything else.
Why don't you start over while I change songs, all right?
No, wait. Play this.
It's the new single from du jour. Recorded just a few days ago, before the disappearance. I'd really like to test the reaction.
Right on.
Check this out, y'all. I got the world premiere of the last single ever from the late, great Dujour. Just for all you right here in the store. Check this out.
Maybe it's just too loud and fast for an old man, you know. Maybe I don't know.
Well, can you
imagine? How old was he? Was Ebert watching this? He wasn't
probably my age or something.
Well, no, but it's like, can you imagine? I you mentioned like the old guard, like the old critics. Like I could imagine that group watching a movie like this or Scott Pilgrim and just like they're like, my head hurts. Yeah. it's too much stimulation.
But yeah, but between this though, you're getting an introduction to the Pussycats, and they're like, and they're playing bowling alleys. And
yeah, they're charming. You know, they're the classic like trying to make it band.
And
you
they're
know,
good they're, too. The hell of it yeah, is, they're good. But then nobody cares. They're like, you suck.
Well, this is another RIP. A lot of the songs were written by Adam Schlesinger. Is that how you say his last name? He was the guy that wrote. That Thing You Do song.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, he was Fountains of Wayne guy, you know, Stacy's mom and all that jazz. But
they're good. Yeah. Like, you hear them and they're good. But then again, the camera pulls out and they're in this, like, and it's the misdirect. You see them playing. You think, oh, they're awesome. They're amazing. And then the camera pulls out and they're in, like, they're taking up a couple of lanes in a bowling alley.
Yeah.
And someone
and
walks
no
by,
one's,
like,
no one's watching. No one's
no
paying
one's
attention.
Watching. No one cares. Alan Cumming discovers them
as
they're just walking down the street.
He's like, that's
my favorite
part.
I literally just need any people. I need bodies that play music. Doesn't matter what.
That's when the movie, the first time I saw it, where I was like, is this like the best movie ever? And it's when he almost runs them over in the street.
Yes.
And they're like, there's like steam happening and they have like guitars and he takes the sleeve out of his CD jacket and he pulls it up and it's like a perfect album cover and he looks at the camera and does like a like
there's even people walking behind them again like a Simpsons joke, like someone walking with the plate glass, but instead of a plate glass it's like number one band in the world.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
and I think that was when I was just like, oh, this is like incredible. Like I was like, so I love
I hate
stuff.
To keep like going back to the Ebert review, but like Ebert, one of the negatives he said in his review is that he thought it was dumb Alan Cumming picks him up without having heard them play ever.
That's the bit,
Ebert. That's funny.
That's the joke. Because it's so damn fun, Jan. Get it?
I swear this movie broke Ebert's brain. Like, he's better than this.
They're not.
Well, they say that in the movie. It's like, well, they say it multiple times. Like, should we practice? Or like, you know, we never really like played
anything
before
this. The first time they play is in the stadium.
Yeah, they're going to play a stadium. And they're like, shouldn't we like play like a club or like go to Europe?
She says that in the part where they sign him. She says, you haven't even heard our music yet. Yeah, she says
it. You don't know how the music industry works.
Yeah. Yeah, like
Alan Cumming is so funny in this. He is like, and the wardrobe for him is really perfect with those like dumb glasses and his like weird hair. I love it.
There's a couple of moments too where like he does look the like almost not even he looks less cartoony than you realize. Where like there's a moment where they're playing in the studio. It's like that white room from the Matrix or something like that. Mm. And he's like doing like a look where he's actually looks like he's into it kind of thing. And I'm like, this looks like a movie producer guy, like perfectly, you know, I don't know. Something about that was really, he was both like crazy and also like perfect.
I didn't realize he was going to be in this movie so much. I also, in looking it up, I didn't realize he's also in Spice World, which
is
an intrigue. Oh, we should watch Spice World probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like in this a lot, and so is Parker Posey. Like that was something I was not really expecting. Like they're almost like co-leads with the they're in it as much as the band, you know.
And she plays Fiona,
which is a great. I mean, she's like the big. She's like Alan Cumming's boss, right? Like Fiona's like the one running the record label.
Yeah, and she's the evil one. It has the big evil monologue. with the government. That's what's funny too, is like how much the U.S. government
the
is a part of this.
Pentagon comes in to meet her.
And like the whole thing with Eugene Levy too, like it's like it ends with like, well, God bless America and all these things. Like it's very satirical.
That's the most the very Simpsons, you know, like I was definitely thinking of like the I'm Troy McClure, like, you know,
he's kind of the real like Troy McClure kind of a little bit.
Hello, I'm Eugene Levy, and yes, I'm an actor. No, I said cappuccino. I'm here to talk to you about something very important. No, it's not about me or my career. I'm here to talk about subliminal messages in rock and roll music, or as it's simply known in some cultures, rock music. You see, for years, the government has been wisely coercing teenagers to buy products they normally wouldn't want just to get their money. Fact, kids don't have bills to pay. Fact, they don't pay taxes. But they do babysit and hold minimum wage jobs that earn them wads of cash as thick as, well, my body of work.
It is, Eugene Levy's just a delight anytime. And it's funny because like he's like, God bless America, but he's Canadian. Like he's not even American.
Yeah. I was thinking
so that's even a little bit of a meta joke too.
I think. This movie's good. This movie, to be clear, is like by far the best movie we've seen for this summer film fest. I gotta say.
Something that I'd agree. Something that kind of shocked me was that it. I know this is PG-13, but at times it's kind of leaned into more risque stuff for, you know, especially something based on an Archie comic. And again, this is what I was mentioning, like, does this movie lay the seeds for what Riverdale does later? Like, we're going to take this, like, pretty innocent thing and, like, turn it into...
There was a pretty dirty sign joke early on in the movie.
Yes, like, the pussy joke.
Yeah.
Honk if you like pussy. And, she, like, the sign's covered and these guys...
Causes
drive
a car accident. Yeah.
That shocked me. I was like, wow, in this movie. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a mixture. I think they were maybe... I bet you it was, you know, you keep talking about how, why it failed, and maybe it was advertised more as like this sort of like, I don't know, what was like, there wasn't like a Lindsay Lohan movie where she had a guitar and or something like that, or like a Mary-Kate and Ashley movie, and all those movies don't do well, I feel like. Mm. Like, you know, or they didn't at the time.
Again, I gotta wonder if, well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like this movie breaks the fourth wall. I feel like this does everything it possibly can to tell you this is like a satirical, spoofy type of movie, you know, on the record industry and product placement, blah, 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 blah. Well, to not pick up on that from the get-go, like, I'm just wondering, like, even if they had put in, now I'm wondering, even if they had put in, like, more fourth wall breaking jokes in the trailer, like, would people have known? I don't think people knew what satire was. No. I don't get how you missed that watching this movie.
Because, I mean, there's a moment, too, like, Missy Pyle's in this, too, and everything, and she's always been as a funny, and this is, like, the movie where officially, like, she talks the most, because she's always, like, in a movie where she's, like, the heavy and, like, a weird, like, monster, basically, you know, like, like in Galaxy Quest or Dodgeball or something like that, but she has a moment where they're, like, I don't even know why you're here, and then she's, like, I was in the comic book. You know,
yeah, like it breaks exactly.
The foot. Yeah,
I was in the comic book.
Yeah, and that's it. And they're like, "What?" And she's like, "Like she knows." And so, like, I don't know. It's. Oh yeah, you're right. It was a pre Deadpool era.
I think so. Yeah, people just didn't get it.
Before Deadpool taught the fans what fourth wall breaking comedy is.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Well,
Deadpool
I'm just
taught
thinking,
everybody.
Like, I'm like, why was Wayne's World successful? It's like, well, Wayne's World was always a comedy. Like, it was bred from SNL. Like, people knew it was a comedy. I'm wondering if that's why people were more
maybe
like
Mike Myers. They know he's like a guy.
Yeah,
you know.
Is there an element of like it's boys? Like they're like, oh, this is dumb. When Ebert threw that thing in about like. In his review where he's like, oh, forget that it's suboral, not subliminal. The Pussycats will probably think suboral is foreplay anyway. And like, what? Yeah. Why, Rebert? There's nothing. There's the Pussycats are not horny. Like, you're being weird about this, not them.
I'm wondering, you almost need the permission to laugh kind of thing. And maybe, like, what if it was, like, I'm looking at, like, who was on SNL in 2000. And what if this was, like, I don't know, Maya Rudolph and... Amy Poehler and like
exactly.
I don't know, like something like known comedians or something like that, and not like teen stars kind of thing, which wouldn't make sense, but like I don't know if it was like a.
Did you see some of the people that were considered for the roles of the Pussycats? There were some. It could have been could have gone some wild directions. Maggie Gyllenhaal auditioned. Zooey Deschanel did, who was like not well known at the time, and they actually I think they like really liked her, but the studio wouldn't pick Zooey Deschanel. And for Valerie, the Rosario Dawson one, Beyonce, Aaliyah, and Lisa Left Eye Lopez auditioned.
Wow.
Which that would have been really interesting. And it sounds like they basically went with Rosario just because she's like a better actor. You know, she's an actual actor. I think they were ultimately like, maybe we should just have like an actor in the movie, not a musician.
Beyonce, that could have been interesting.
Yeah, I bet you if it had been like Amy Poehler,
Tina Fey,
basically the
something.
SNL cast of the time, like maybe Tina Fey or Rachel Dratch or whoever. Like, I wonder if people would have then been like, "Okay, this is a comedy, I get it." Even though it's like, I don't know.
I think there's something to that, almost like permission to laugh or something. I think when you maybe at the time you're like, "Oh, there's, you know, the girl from
Even
She's
the
All
girl
Mad,
movie.
Is in this." Yeah. Which I find them all good. It's interesting. Like, I think Rosario doesn't have quite that much to do a little bit in the movie. She's sort of like,
well, she's like the straight man essentially.
Yeah. That's kind of the only, I almost wish there was a little bit more of her to do. Cause it's like Tara Reid's bouncing off the walls. She's supposed to be like the, when was the Charlie's Angels movie? When was Charlie, was that the same? That was a year before, wasn't
like
it?
1 year before. Yeah.
I bet that was, they were gunning for that. Which that movie is like, was,
I'm pretty, isn't there like a joke in this movie where it's like, there's something about like, they're going to make a movie about us starring Drew Barrymore and
Lucy Liu and Drew Barrymore and stuff like that. Yeah. And Cameron Diaz. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's something. Yeah. But it's there's a lot of good. There's great bits and great jokes in this and stuff and tons of stuff happening in the background. Very you're right. Very Simpsons-y.
It's just so ridiculous. Like it's so over the top. Like there's so many lines. Like there's a lot of good lines in the movie. A lot of good like. Just like dumb moments, like you were mentioning earlier, the when they're like almost killed, Alan Cumming's about to like maybe kill him because they realize like, isn't this like kind of fast for like a week? And it is funny like that the because you kind of don't have a sense of time and everything and being like, oh, this has all happened in 1 week. Like they've become like the biggest band in the world. They've like had montages of like climbing the charts and putting out new music. And it's like, oh, no, it's been 1 week.
I also really enjoyed the bit where, and not to be the Chris Farley show, but like that whole bit where like he's in the record store initially, he hasn't discovered Josie and the Pussycats yet, and there's this girl there. It's like, this music sucks. You know? Like, this is like total conformist bullshit.
Oh yeah,
and he's like, oh, we really care about your opinion. Please follow me. Like we really want to get to you. And just again, Simpsons joke. It just ends with a van pulling up, and he just pushes her inside.
That's when he calls, and he's like, smells like Teen Spirit.
Yes. And if I'm not mistaken, you see that girl later, like in like the laboratory.
She's like plugged up to like, you know, electro, like Clockwork Orange. Like, yes.
It's that laboratory thing is wild. And it's a big old set. And it's like she's talking about how they're getting them to, buy. It's very, I'm trying to think of other, there's another movie that does this kind of thing too. I can't remember what it was, but
They Live.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
It is. I mean, that's not crazy of a reference.
Consume, reproduce.
I love to again, not to sound like Chris Farley, but like when they're like, you know what, we're actually finding that subliminal messages are better in movies anyway. And then it like flashes on the screen, like, you know, bye. And I love like on the very bottom, it's like, join the army.
That says, it says Josie and the Pussycats, the best movie ever. Join the army is what it says.
Yeah. join the army is like funny. A little chef's kiss on that joke is funny.
I'm trying to think of other little moments I love. Like,
oh, well, what? I already cut you off, so I might as well go full bore.
I mean,
Ryan, this has been said on the show before that you are not a fan of concerts ending movies. How did this one go for you?
Well, this is the thing is that with a movie like this is part of the soup. This is, it's part of the story. It's part of the movie. Yeah. It's the random concert at the end of a movie that's that drives me nuts sometimes, you know. or maybe like School of Rock, I love it. It's like transcendent
part of the movie. Yeah.
And it's like, it's a movie about music. So it works. It makes sense.
Is Rat Race your ultimate example
that's
of
the first time I noticed where I was just like, this is the worst thing to ever happen.
That's
ever.
All-Star, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also Breckenridge is there. Somehow Breckenmeyer has returned. Breckenmeyer's in that too. Seth Green's in that also, but.
Yes.
Well, those guys were just a pair.
Seth Green was in every movie in 2001.
For a while there.
Well, yeah. I'm wondering, do those guys come like addition together? Like they only come together, those guys?
They're a packaged pair, man. And then
they just went and did Robot Chicken forever and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is I was just—it's so weird because just like 2 days ago, I caught in my one of my feeds in the Chad Graham or whatever we're gonna call it, and it was like Seth Meyers or not Seth Meyers, Seth Green and Breckenridge. I keep saying that. Breckenridge, I think, is like a ski resort or something.
It sounds
to Starship Troopers. Breckenridge is the guy that gets his head blown off for the training course in that movie.
Breckenridge sounds like a Christian rock band to me.
Yeah. Well, they're there like with George Lucas around a table, and they're like. It's like, I don't know if it's supposed to be like behind the scenes of when they were making the Star Wars Detours or something like that, but it's like, it's pretty funny. And George is like Latin, like joking with them. And they're kind of like, it looks like it's outtakes for like, George, like bossing them around or something like that, you know, giving them ideas, like in a jokey way. Yeah. But it's like, it seems like it's outtakes. Cause it's just like this long video of like stuff that was probably never used for like, you know, special material, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's great. George is like, he loves these guys, you know. He was so excited for them to work on these Star Wars things that he sold to Disney. But
I saw that Robot Chicken did a like homage a little bit to this movie.
Oh,
in
really?
2020 in 2021 they did this is from the Chattopedia. The du jour cast reprised their roles as du jour, and Josie was there too. The what's her name? Rachel, is it Rachel?
Rachel Lee Cook, yeah.
Yeah, so she also showed up as Josie.
That's fun.
I think she was, when I was reading, she's been in a lot of, she was probably part of the gang and was in voice a lot of characters in Robot Chicken and stuff. But that's a part that's kind of weird to me is like they show up kind of at the end of the movie, but it's like everyone, but it's the guy that nobody knows and all the known actors are like in casts or something like that. It's
well,
like they
Seth
couldn't
Green
get him
was
that
probably
day.
Filming like, you know, Italian Job or something at the time. He couldn't get back for reshoots.
Yeah, it seemed like a thing where they couldn't get those guys back. So they just put him in like big old full body casts.
Which I thought
something.
Was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but basically they get onto it. Oh yeah, they're making like ears for the band to wear. They're basically like the next level of the subliminal messaging.
It's Halloween 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. It's very Halloween 3. It's like, all right, everybody, put on your Josie Pussycat ears.
This is what I was thinking of. Batman Forever kind of has like this kind of thing too.
Yeah, with the box.
Yeah, the box. Just everyone. We all thought that the old boob tube was. You know, killing us and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like the movie was, it's just like almost like, I bet it's like 2 years ahead of its time. Almost. I think, I'm wondering if it was just a little bit later, it would have hit harder.
It's a shame. I mean, it did really, it really did bad. Like the, did you see like the financials of it? It was like, it cost between 22 and 39 million and its box office was just under 15 million.
Oh,
that's rough.
Like worldwide?
Yeah, it's like total.
Oh man, that's rough.
It's like nothing. Yeah, it's a bummer.
You know, one part that I don't understand, and maybe you guys can explain it to me. There's a really funny setup to a scene where they're trying to make Josie the star of this. They're trying to Beyonce her from the rest of the Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
And so they're like, "Oh, you two are gonna make a special appearance on TRL." Like without Josie, they just tell your story, and they show up. It's like a fake set, and then there's this fake Carson Daly thing, and I'm like, "Who's that guy? And why is this happening?"
That's the Matt TV guy.
I know. I realize it's a, but was he? Was that guy famous at the time?
That was honestly, that was the one moment of the movie that I genuinely did not like. He just goes on this impression bit rant.
It's like they brought him in randomly. They're like, hey, we need
to do your Mad TV bits. And Mad TV,
that's what it felt like.
I don't know.
Out of place.
I don't think we've ever expressed opinions about Mad TV. I think Mad TV sucks. I think it's always sucked. It was never good. There's some good people on it, but like,
It just felt shoehorned in. Like, and now here's this guy that does Bill Cosby impressions and this and that. And it's just
Almost like that set. Do you think that was maybe like an extra thing? Because it almost feels separate. Because at the time, Carson Daly and Tara Reid were together. And so there's a lot of jokes about them together at the time and stuff.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So that's why he was joking the whole time, like, ooh, it'd be nice
to... I thought you were hot and all these things.
Well, it's a bummer because I think the setup for that is really funny. They show up and it's just like cardboard cutouts it's TRL. And everything is a cardboard cutout. She looks at a camera, she knocks it over, and it's just... I thought that could see was funny, but then when they go into the impression bit, I'm just like,
They needed two people to fight the kill them, basically. And then they're like, well, Carson Daly's only one guy. Like, what do we do? And so they're like, we need to get another guy in here. Kurt Loder. Yeah, Kurt Loder.
That would have been funny.
Another Kurt MTV Loder. News guy, you know? Like,
this just serious, in.
He's
you're
like
dead.
The Tom Brokaw of of MTV News.
They already had an MTV News. Like, I forget who it was.
It's that woman, Serena Atul.
Oh, my God. I love when she does the, like, announces that DuJour is like presumed dead or whatever, because she's like, tragedy, the plane carrying DuJour was lost last night, and the label is unaware of the whereabouts, and it's, you know, it's like searches are urgently underway, and a commemorative box set has been released.
The timing on it was really
all right, yeah. You could have had, yeah, you're right. Kurt Loder or Dave Holmes was another guy that was like always on MTV News or on. He was like the second guy at TRL at the time. But
were the Osbournes? Was that a show at this point?
That might have been a little bit, if not at the same exact time, but.
I feel like, you know, you get one of those in there, that would
but
be funny.
It just feels so random. Like, and now the guy from Mad TV.
It was
yeah, which is not, it's not even related to MTV in any way or music.
Yeah.
Like, maybe another musician, you know, like a cameo from like a musician would have been fun. Like one of the people who's always on TRL, like Fred Durst or something, or Blink-182. Blink-182 should have been
really
in this movie.
Deep cut, but it would go along with the movie. If it was like someone like David Geffen or something.
If it had been Mark and Tom from Blink-182 just ready to beat them up, that would have been great.
Someone related to music, but it's like Mad TV. Why?
Well, I think like the, it's so funny because I'm like, MTV allowed this, but that's so cool. Like, there's that moment where when the punk girl gets kidnapped in the van, it's like the van reveals MTV.com behind her and stuff like that. And so like they're definitely like they had to be in on it, at least for that one. And so having Carson Daly trying to kill you is very funny, and like that is ruined by that guy. It drives me nuts.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's the one bit of the movie that really truly did not work for me. I did not like it.
Who do you want to kill you, huh? Eddie Murphy? Eddie told me if I see you, I want them Josie girls dead, all right? To get on my nerves, I want them dead.
It's, I don't know what that is. Yeah. That must have been just like a something they were trying, or they were friends with this guy or something, and he had to give him a part. I felt bad for him, to be honest. I was like,
yeah, it was kind of embarrassing.
But yeah, they end up realizing what's happening. There's the whole classic Josie. She gets brainwashed by her own music and hates the girls for a second.
Yeah, you're holding me back.
But then they end up breaking. What is it called? Like, it's the machine that adds in the subliminal messaging.
It's like the Master Records 3000 or something like
that. Something like that with a 3000 number at the end of it for no reason. She busts it up. Then everyone realizes that, oh, this whole thing at this whole time is like, love Parker Posey.
Oh, yeah. She just wants to be. That's a funny moment where she has a party and then she's like, come on, girls, let's go eat junk food and all these things. And yeah, she does eat the single Pringle. I forgot. I realized that was
a bit. She puts it on a plate, by the way, which I thought was
She puts one Pringle on a plate and like
I'm so fat.
Barely nibbles it and is like, yeah, I'm so bad.
I shouldn't.
And she's like, she's very funny in that scene though, the way she's like kind of like flaunting around and laying on the bed and stuff like that. She's like amazing.
How much do you weigh?
Yeah. She's incredible. Like, it's, I love her and she's beautiful. Sorry.
I love her and she's beautiful. And you can
cut this out, please. This whole thing is just a ruse, like to get people to like her. And she takes out these dentures or something. And she's got terrible teeth. And Alan Cumming like does the same thing. Like he lets his belly go out.
That's
like,
funny.
I've been reveals albino, like he's the Joker.
I love that he reveals he's American. He's talking in an American accent.
Yeah.
Just been putting on this, and they're old friends. They know each other from high school, and it's this whole thing. And then Josie and the Pussycats is like, you know what? We're just gonna go out and just play a new song.
Yeah, Tara Reid at that moment, she says she's like, oh, so romantic, and to these two weirdos, and then the I forget who says it, but they're like, is this a moral of the story to find another freak or something? Yeah, like that?
Is the moral of the story? Yeah, find a freak. And yeah, like no, it's be yourself.
Yeah.
Which is the moral of the story, of course. They just, just be yourself. Be comfortable with yourself. And
people end up liking their song.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this big
I love the, when Josie comes out, it's pretty sweet where she's like, I like that bit where she's like, I'm going to play a new song and like, it's cool if you don't like it. It's cool if you do. Just decide for yourself.
Decide for yourself. It's pretty good.
Think for yourself. Yeah.
It's charming. I think, the performance of Josie on this is like, it's a good earnest performance.
She's
good.
Yeah.
She's charming.
Yeah. She's All That is really the only big movie that Rachel Cook was in. And now she's caught and maybe it's fine. It's probably a good work.
NXIVM or something.
No, she's just like in the Hallmark, Christmas movie. Like
she does a lot of voice acting.
Yeah.
She was the voice of, not in the remakes, but she was the voice for a long time of Tifa from Final Fantasy VII. And so anytime there was Fantasy VII stuff, she voiced one of the main characters.
And they remake that game every 2 years. Yeah. So that's what you have.
Well, no, she's not in the remake. She was the OG voice actor.
It's not my Final Fantasy unless she's doing Tifa's voice,
Yeah.
And everyone loves the band and like every movie made between the year 2000 and 2002, we get a blooper reel.
And they look like they're having a blast.
The blooper reel does look like it makes it look like they're having a blast, which is what I want out of a blooper reel is I want the blooper reel to get across. They had fun making this. There's nothing worse than a blooper reel where it looks like everyone was having an awful time.
Well, do you remember the blooper reel we saw for Mother's Day where it was just footage of people?
Yes, this is what I'm thinking of. Exactly. Like, look at all the fun hijinks they're having. And it's just like, fuck, I forgot my line.
No one wants to be there.
I forgot who it was. Another podcast was covering some Amy Heckerling movies, and they talked about Johnny Dangerously, which I watched, which is a movie that doesn't exist. And it's a spoof movie about mobs and stuff. And in the interviews, they talked about how they had a blast making those movies, and they had it showed a blooper reel at the rap party. And then they were like, and I think one of the actors in the movie was just like, it didn't show up in the movie, how much fun we were having, kind of thing. Like they weren't able to edit it together to make it happen. So I'm glad this movie doesn't have that, but it works, I think. But I'm trying to think of other good little moments. I didn't even take any notes because I was just on cloud nine watching it.
There are some funny bloopers. I did. This is one of the better blooper reels I've seen in recent memory.
It's the movie has there's four music videos in the movie too, and they play the song all the way through. And I think some people can get that. It might feel a little long now, kind of watching it a little bit, I think, but that's kind of the part.
I was eating it up because the music's good. I think that's it's like the same thing with Spinal Tap. These aren't joke songs, but Spinal Tap, that works partly because the music's good, right? It's fun music, and this is too. It doesn't, it would be a slog if the music sucked or was really generic or boring, but it's fun. It's believable that this would be music from this teen girl band.
But also,
you know?
The movie wraps up in an hour and a half. So yeah. I never felt the length. Oh, the perfect. Good
speaking
pacing.
Of, you're saying that these aren't spoof songs, which they aren't really, but Du Jour, though, their big hit is Backdoor Lover. I don't know if you caught Du Jour, that.
Yeah, I mean, that's another. Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I caught that. Yeah. That is.
Keep talking. 1 second.
We all know what du jour means, right?
You're the French guy.
It's of the day. So, like, that's, like, the bit. It's, like...
In the moment.
Yeah.
Very of the moment.
Right. That's not long-lasting. That's what, you know, at a restaurant, you know, there's always, like, the soup du jour, like, soup of the day.
Of the day.
Okay. Yeah, so it is like, a great name for them, that they're literally just, like, it's of the day, like, this is what we have today. Oh, my God. Ryan is showing us vinyl of... Is this their album?
Mm-hmm.
This is Josie and the Pussycats.
Mm-hmm. That looks like a very... Oh, it's even got like the Mega Records logo, yeah, like on it. That cover looks like a very... That looks like something Heart would have put out.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The band Heart.
It's really
cool. It looks
cool.
Good. It looks like the cool band.
There's also a bonus du jour single on here.
Oh, that's funny. Which single? Is it Backdoor Lover?
Yeah, Backdoor Lover and Du Jour Around the World. I think that's the second song they play for the one that's in the store.
How often do you spin that, Ryan?
I don't think I've ever put it on.
Oh, geez, what are you doing? Put that on right after we get finished recording.
I want you to be blasting.
I just love this so much. This cover is so good. And when Mondo put this out, I was like, oh, I need to get that. Another thing, speaking of that thing you do, Playtone, baby. Playtone Records.
Mm.
That's old Tom, T. Hanks himself.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
You know, yeah, speaking of that movie, we should probably do it on the show at some point because, cue the drum roll, I have never seen That Thing You Do.
I haven't either. I haven't seen
what
it either,
the fuck,
Dave.
You guys? That's crazy. That's nuts. I'm going to say that's a crazy one.
Should we cue that
we
movie
maybe
up for
should
next
have done
year's...
that before we did this, to be honest.
Well, should we maybe cue that movie up for next year's Stone Cold Ryan's Winter Film Fest Federation?
Well, maybe now, like, we talked about Spice World and that. Maybe it's like a, you know, music fake,
I think,
band.
Ooh, yeah.
Spice World,
I guess, is a real band, though.
Spinal Tap could be another one we can throw in there for a month like that. I like it. We're coming up with themes.
That's our favorite thing, coming up with themes.
Well, we already got three movies for that. We'll only need one more. Listeners, find out next year what that theme, what the whole, this theme
like I'm saying, it's great.
Tune in next year.
That's actually
next year.
I'm curious because that movie has a director's cut thing that, or extended cut that I've never seen. That's supposed to
which
be
which one? Which one?
That Thing You Do.
Oh,
it's already kind of a long movie, and it's like a great theatrical movie. But apparently, there's just like an interesting.
It's directed by Tom Hanks, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was his first movie. He only directed two movies, I think. That and what's the one with Julia Roberts?
He directed a great episode of Tales from the Crypt. It's like an old someone conning an old woman into giving him his money.
It's like Larry something, and it's him and her on a scooter. That's all I remember. Is it Larry Crown?
I think it's Larry Crown.
I don't know why I remember that. Well, any closing thoughts on Josie and the Pussycats?
It was so nice to watch a good movie, finally.
It was a relief. I thought this whole... I'll be honest. You weren't on this episode, Mike, but I kind of had fun watching Catwoman.
Should I watch that? Should I think
you would have... that'd be a fun movie night. Like, get wasted, put on Catwoman. I think you might have a good time. Just, like, all going, right. What? At the movie.
It's tough. I don't know. It's a tough watch.
I think it's funny. It's watchable.
I know. It's like it's one of those things where I'm just surprised that they got put in release.
I'm excited to listen to I'll listen to the episode and decide if I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, just decide for yourself, man.
I'll decide for myself. Yeah. Hey, by the way, should we start putting in subliminal messages in our podcast?
Ooh, yeah, that'd
like,
be a good
rent
idea.
Rent more tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll go Ryan's employee picks are the best. That's the movie phone guy. Bring back the movie phone guy. Come on, you know. Your choice is Josie and the Pussycats, 9:33.
Catwoman, 8:10. Well, I would recommend Josie and the Pussycats. This is a fun time. If you are aware of satire, if you have watched a movie of satire before, I think you're well equipped to going in to watch this to enjoy it. If you don't know what satire is, just stay away from this movie. You're not gonna enjoy it.
God, I don't know what happened to Ebert with this movie.
That's wild.
I just can't, because he's a great reviewer. Oh wow, Ryan's holding, holding up
an insert from the record. It's du jour.
That's it's a great, cool. great photo of du jour.
Anyway,
yeah, so is that a recommend, Mike?
Strong recommend for me. This is like one of the best movies we've seen for the show in a little while, which isn't saying a whole lot.
But it's not saying much, man.
It's not, but it is. It's a really good movie. Yeah, I think, like Ryan was kind of alluding to, is it a masterpiece of film? No. Is it a very good movie, though? I would say yes. I think it's a very good comedy that is like, I am interested in music and bands and the music business and stories about, you know, the rise and fall of musicians and stuff like that. If that is something that's interesting to you, it's great. It's a great watch. It is very, I will say too, something we didn't really touch on. I like the time capsule nature of it. Oh, yeah. Not just the MTV stuff, but like the idea of big labels making bands and selling CDs.
The
I mean, that's
that,
kind of...
Yeah, that this music store is like gigantic that they
yeah,
walk into.
Yeah, that's not
it's
really a thing.
Yeah.
In the wasteland these days, I mean, that's not really a thing anymore. It's just, you know, the whole landscape is different and there aren't really like big monoculture bands like this anymore. I think this era... was
the end
kind
of it
of,
almost
it was kind of the last yeah yeah those bands were kind of the last gasp when there was like so much money being thrown around in these record labels and stuff like I was reading Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 in his book and he was talking about yeah Ryan's got it right there he was talking about like that MTV era with like when they're doing TRL and stuff labels would spend literally hundreds of thousands of dollars per appearance for a band to show up for like 2 minutes because they'd be flying them from wherever the band is to New York and, you know, flying them first class, putting up them like 5-star hotels, all expenses paid, you know,
weekly,
have keys to the city for the weekend. And then they're just on there for like 3 minutes with Carson Daly being like, oh, yeah, the new album's coming out, blah, blah. Okay, bye. Like, you know, that amount of money doesn't exist anymore in the music business. And it's just an interesting time that this you kind of get a glimpse of with this movie.
Yeah, and it's kind of this is really the end of it, I think. Like there's yeah, I think yeah. you got there's a couple years left of this and then it was done forever. Yeah. When the internet kind of took hold. It's
streaming
over.
Streaming killed the movie star or whatever, the music
the video
star.
Yeah, the video killed yeah, the
Well, I think I might have asked this either maybe it was on the show or off the show, I can't remember, but I was like, are music videos even still a thing, really? Or
they are,
not,
but
they're
it's not
the way they used to be.
No, I mean, they're definitely a thing, but they're, yeah, they're not in the way that they used to be. It's a very
the
different
web
thing.
Premiere of, blah, 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 whatever.
I mean, I think more now it's about like going viral and stuff and doing yeah. like, you know, the, I mean, and there's definitely like bands that are out there like trying to make like cool, arty movies and stuff like that, but there's not like the money that there. I think
that's
like the big
the
difference.
Last big music video I can remember that really had like hit was This Is America. That was like the last one I can remember that really.
And that's
like,
and that's like a thing that went viral. Like, you know, it's it went it that's how it hit, and it wasn't like I'm sure it cost money, but it wasn't, you know, like I feel like there was an era where music videos, it would be like Michael Jackson music videos were like, yeah. they'd have as much money as like a movie would have, you know, they're just like throwing effects and you'd have cool like spectacle with the music video.
Yeah,
and
the
that
only,
is like
the only people
different.
That can afford that are like the top of the heap, like a Taylor Swift or Beyonce and like that are making like those videos that like they used to make them. And then I mean, not yeah. even, they're not even making them like they used to probably, but they look like they did, you know,
it's just, but, yeah. the music industry is just, it just does not have as much money as it used to. That's like,
and
all,
it's a bummer because that's, I feel like that's what's so great about music videos back in the day. You could have a smaller band that could come out with a really cool, like video yeah. directed by like David Fincher or someone like that. And it can like really break through and
yeah,
you didn't really get that anymore. It's not a thing.
Yeah, it's almost, I mean, there's, every once in a while, like, there's, like, but this is still a long time ago, like, the Daniels, they did the Turn Down for What music video, that was, like, their big video, and that's oh, wow. That's a really good video, and really crazy music video, but that was still, like, 10 years ago, or something like yeah. that, and, but it's, like, so, it does happen, but it is more of a viral kind of thing, you're right, it's not, like, being forced down us, you know, in a way, we almost need to, like, stumble upon it, or someone needs to send it to you, or something like that, you know, but every once in a while, like, something like, that's a good call, David, like, the This Is America, but that was, I think, like, a lot with, like, the time, and, like, the, and, like, the message, and all that stuff, and yeah. so that kind of got through, I think, to
we you. Can all agree. Society peaked in 1999 when As Ryan reminded me, Duel of the Fates was on TRL.
That is insane.
I remember rushing home from sixth grade to see Duel of the Fates music video on TRL. Like, John Williams, Duel of the Fates. In between Britney Spears and Blink-182 videos and stuff. It was crazy. The times were crazy.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to TRL. We got John Williams here with us. Superman!
That's how those ones. Remember, they'd be like, "Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm from Mesa, Arizona, and I love John Williams."
Yes. So yeah.
And it's all. It would like cut to that in the middle of the music video.
I imagine young Ryan there. I'm Ryan Gumbel. I'm from Mesa, Arizona, and I want John to play Princess Leia's theme. It's my favorite Star Wars theme.
And then you go. Speaking of that, the kid in the beginning, that was Goku himself. I forget that Justin Chinowick is or is
really?
That his name? He was like the boy in the crowd from Shameless, that show. I don't know.
I thought I recognized that guy.
Wait, yeah. He's the voice of Goku?
No, he's the Goku in Goku
Dragon Ball Evolution.
Dragon Ball.
I want to watch that sometime for the show. I haven't seen it.
Fake band week, whatever we do.
I need to see that movie.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. So this was kind of, you mentioned, so obviously Ryan, you recommend the movie.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, it's, I think there is a tinge of something that's causing people to, that made it so Ebert didn't get this. And I bet you, like if you watch the first Austin Powers, it's like wham bam. There's a certain like perfect like flow to it, and this movie maybe is missing that. And
you know what I think it is? I think it was like the culture that it's skewering. They're right in it when they're making this movie, right? So maybe it's tough to like see the forest for the trees when you're in the like. Yeah. I'm mixing up my metaphors here, but like when you're in the middle of the storm, maybe it's like tough to notice. Maybe it benefits from like a little bit of the hindsight to get away from it.
Yeah. So I think it works now. The thing is, I'm curious if it would like, I bet you like a kid like that at least has a little bit of sense of what that culture was like. Like looking back could have fun with this movie too, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. But like I think this movie is honestly, I think it's about as good as Spinal Tap, I would say. And I like Spinal Tap. I didn't grow up in the Spinal Tap era, but that still works. It's funny.
Yeah.
You can get it. And I think this, yeah, I would put this like on the same level as Spinal Tap.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, soak it all in because we're going back into the realm of superheroes after this one, guys. Well, I should say
we're still in superheroes. What this
we're
is
kind of over. Well, this is comic. This is not superheroes.
She was a super. Josie was a superhero in this movie.
So we're kind of over the hump a bit. We're a little over halfway through our programming here.
Jesus,
for,
only halfway.
I thought we were done. I thought this was it.
No, you no, thought this was the last episode?
How long is this summer? Is this because of global warming? Is the summer longer?
Maybe. Well, I hope you like this one, guys. This is a brief bright spot because we're heading back into the realm of superheroes next week with 1984's Supergirl.
Wow. Oh, okay. I'm ready.
I'm
for
curious.
This.
Yeah. I'm there.
Oh, that was not the reaction I thought I'd get.
I'm gonna go into this like optimistic and ready to love it.
Uh-oh.
All right, guys. Well, you're ready. Should we play this one out real quick? Let's play it out.
Prom queen. Brown paper magazine.
Josie is a pussy cat.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, now.
You're
Marshall Stacks.
Oh, that's what you wanted to do. Okay. Yeah.
See, here's the problem. We didn't rehearse.
Much like somebody. Josie and the Pussycats, this is our first show.
That's good.
Yes, I think they responded to that very well, actually.
I think that song sucks. I plug my ears when crap like that comes on.
Really? Well, everybody else seemed to like it.
That's just because they're mindless drones who will gobble up anything you tell them is cool.
I see. Wow, you're a real free thinker, aren't you?
You know, I'd love to talk to you some more. People in the recording industry, like me, always want to hear the opinion of individuals like yourself. Find out what we're doing wrong, you know?
Yeah, right. How much time do you have?
As much as you want. Off to you. Smells like teen spirit.